our 10-minute speaker for very long. I didn't meet her until the moment of my birth. And at that moment, I didn't realize that we would have a little bit of a rocky relationship. But I'll tell you, there's never been a person, nor there will be ever a person, other than the two folks that you're going to hear tonight. But especially my mom in her recovery and what she went through. And make sure in the 10 minutes that she tells you about when she flung herself off a two-story building, because that's a cool part of the story. So without any more, Mom, I love you very much. Come on up and ruin it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gloria, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Gloria.
Thank you for asking me to come and share with you this evening, Derek. And this is not one of my favorite things to do, but I do it because of Alcoholics Anonymous and what it has done for me. When I came to Alcoholics on March 3rd, 1982, which, yes, I just had my 32nd birthday, I had lost everything that a woman can lose. I lost my home, my husband, and the custody of my two young sons, all as a direct result of my alcoholism. And as I'm to tell you a little bit about what it used to be like and what happened and what it's like now, that's not the way it started out for me. I'm a native Californian. I was born in Los Angeles to a wonderful family. There are alcoholics in my family tree. My father was a classic periodic. But my mother was a very loving mother, and we had a good home. My father was a dentist by profession, so we were very comfortable. We moved to Tucson, Arizona when I was just a baby, and I went there through high school. And if you'd known me then and my family, you would have thought that I would be the last person to walk through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was very fortunate to have been blessed with a good singing voice, and I was in everything in school, and I was in the Honor Society, and I was in Tucson was part of the Wild West. I was in rodeo parades and all this kind of stuff, and this is the way I went through high school. Never any parent would have been happy to have me as their child. And I graduated from the high school, and I was accepted at the University of Redlands in Redlands, California, with a partial music scholarship. And the story was very much the same there for the next 4 years. I loved music. I was in everything there was to be in. And Redlands was a very, it was a Baptist-backed school. And so we were required to attend chapel 3 times a week, which we all hated. We thought it was the worst thing in the world, but we had to be there, or we had units tacked on to the end of our, before we graduated. And so I had 4 years to really think about what I believed in. And I was a person that very definitely had a spiritual program and I believed in a high power, and I tell you this because you'll see how far down alcohol took me, because that's not the way I started. I went to Redlands for 4 years, and I met a young man there, and he was stationed at Fort Ord and graduated a year before I did, and I went up there, and after I graduated and got involved in the music up there, they had a great little theater there in Monterey on the Wharf called the Wharf Theater. And I sang and just had a great time, and no real evidence. I never had a drink until my 21st birthday, because I had, because of my father's drinking, I had made a pledge that I would never take a drink. So my first drink was on my 21st birthday, and it wasn't like I was off and running immediately and drinking everything in sight like I was later on. Anyway, this young man and I were married, and we settled in this little town near Pasadena called Sierra Madre. And we had everything going for us. He had graduated with a business degree and worked for the Bank of America, and I had my music degree, and I was very active in the community. And something happened after I had been married a year and a half or 2 years to this young man that changed my whole life. And I believe into this day that it sowed the seeds for my alcoholism. I got involved with another man, and I'd only been married about a year and a half or 2 years. And we carried on this affair for about a year. And when I started doing this, this is when I started to drink, when I'd go off to meet him. And this is what started. I didn't start an alcoholic right from the beginning. I'd say it probably took me 10 or 15 years to grow into a full-blown alcoholic. After about a year of this, and I realized that I just couldn't keep going on and living this lie and this thing that I was doing, today it's a laugh, you know, with the young people. They probably listened to my story and said, shoot, that's what I do in my lunch hour every day. But not me, not my background that I've told you. So off we went into the sunset, broke up two marriages, broke our parents' hearts, and many letters from my parents. And in this marriage, which lasted about 13 years, if you'd asked me if I would do it again, I would tell you no, that it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. But there are two things out of this marriage that I wouldn't change for anything, and that are the two sons. Derek is one of them that came out of this marriage, and that I would never change. We lived together for 13 years, and he was a great tennis player and a school teacher. I was a school teacher. And after a while, he decided he wanted to do something more than teach school. So he went to law school, and that was a 5-year stint. Derek was born just about the time he started law school, and all of a sudden I found myself with no husband and this tiny baby, and I just felt so terribly sorry for myself. And I had a grandma that lived very close by that was willing to take care of Derek. So every Wednesday night, instead of being in a Wednesday night meeting, which I am every Wednesday night now near where I live, I was playing tennis with my buddies, and afterwards we'd go to the local watering hole. And this is the way it went for the next 5 or 10 years. Little by little, I was drinking more and more. And many of the stories are like what you read in the book. It was textbook. I started hiding bottles everywhere, in the garage, in my lingerie drawer, under the kitchen sink, anywhere you could imagine. And when my husband came home, he couldn't understand that when I had one legal drink with him, I was passing out with my face in the soup at the dinner table. And this went on. The only thing that I'm really thankful for is that I didn't drink when I was pregnant with both the boys. I was very thankful for that. But as soon as they were born, I was off and running and drinking again. And the threats became more and more often in the marriage. If you don't quit drinking, I can't take this. And I'd stop for a while, and then I'd be back at it again. And there were many. I have many, many stories I could tell you, but I don't have time to tell you all of them. But my favorite one, which my husband says it's his favorite, is the night that I spent in the Newport Beach jail. And so my sister and I had our yearly birthdays. When we had birthdays, they were really orgies. I'd come down and visit her in Newport Beach, and we'd go out and we'd start our lunches at about 8 o'clock in the morning, going from bar to bar. And we ended up having a fight in the car coming home from one of the bars, and I was pulling her hair, she was pulling mine. And we pulled over the side, and I made the big mistake of getting out of the car, and the police saw this, and I ended up in the Newport Beach jail. And this time, my husband was an attorney, so if you think it was fun for them to call him and tell him to come and get me out of jail. But this is the way it continued. I have to shorten it a great deal of all the things that happened. Many, many things, many terrible things happened. And finally, I woke up one morning, and he was gone, and he said he was not coming back. And all of a sudden, I discovered I was with these two children, them that were about 6 and about 11, two young sons. I was not employable because I'd been drinking. I hadn't taught school for a number of years, and I didn't know what to do. And during this 4 years, it was just a nightmare of dragging the children all over the place up to Northern California to live for a while, and then living in Corona Del Mar, which is near Laguna Beach, with them. And we went through terrible times with my drinking. And of course, Derek loves to tell great stories about me. Some of them are true, a lot of them are not. But his favorite story is that I used to wear this big white leather belt around my middle, and off of it hung all these empty Chianti bottles. When I got mad at them, I'd let loose with one of the Chianti bottles. That is not a true story, but many of the other stories were true.
I learned to duck.
He got very friendly with the next door neighbor boy, and he and the boy were growing marijuana on the roof that I didn't know about it. And I was really trying to put them to bed, you know, in the afternoon about 3 o'clock every day so that I could drink. Well, finally, my poor parents would come and visit, and they saw what was going on, and they said to me, Lori, if you don't stop drinking, you're going to lose those boys. And I realized that, and I, no matter how hard I tried at night, I'd try to hold down these part-time jobs, and it was just ridiculous. I'd go in there so hungover in the mornings, my hands shaking that I couldn't hold a coffee cup. And my parents would say, if you don't stop this, you're going to lose them. And every night I'd say, I'm not going to drink tonight. and every night I would drink until I passed out. Until finally Derek and I just were not getting along. It was just terrible. In the condition I'm in today as a strong, sober woman of 32 years, I think I would have had a hard time handling him at 13 or 14 and what was going on. So one day we had this horrific fight, and he jumped on his moped and went up to Los Angeles to the place where his father was living. His father had remarried and lived in Brentwood, not too far around the corner from where OJ didn't kill his wife. I have to give a little levity to it because this is why I don't like telling the story. Anyway, it wasn't too long after that that I received a subpoena from the Superior Court in Los Angeles to the conciliatory court, and my ex-husband was after custody of the boys, and I will never forget that day. It was 32 years ago, September, that I went up there. And what they do is they listen to the children, they listen to you, and they make a decision at that time who is going to have custody of the boys. And I was all set to fight, you know, and do whatever I could. But when I got there, here was my ex-husband with the two boys and with two of my neighbors that lived across the street from me. And I thought, oh, good, I've got somebody here, you know, that's on my side. But they weren't here for me. They were here to tell what kind of a mother I was and what was happening with these boys, and how many times that they were having to go to their house to have dinner because I was passed out on the sofa. So that day in September of 1981, I came home from Los Angeles back to Corona Del Mar without my two boys. And as I was driving on that freeway from downtown Los Angeles down to Corona Del Mar, even now when we take that drive from the music center, I think of how I felt. I thought, how in the world could my life have ended up like this with the start that I had had. Anyway, cheer up, as I love to say at this point. You know, we alcoholics could always do something to make it worse, and that's exactly what I did. I got involved with this man that I had met through like Match.com, only it was called the Millionaires Club then.
5 minutes?
Okay, I've got a 5 minute warning. So anyway, motto was, you don't have to be a millionaire to feel like a million. That, you know, they were really very deep people. But I have to get you through the end of this. How this all ended up, I moved in with this man, and you have to know that nobody would want me to live with them unless they were drunk just like I was. And that's exactly what went on. The next 4 months were a nightmare. I was supposed to pick up my younger boy in LA, and I wasn't supposed to have anything to drink till I picked him up. And there were times when I couldn't make it up there. And I would have messages on the phone like, Mom, where are you? Until one night we were fighting, drinking and fighting. And he was telling me the kind of person I was, the mother, a wife, and whatever I was. And he didn't have to tell me. And I threw myself off the second story of his house onto the cement below and fractured my pelvis and hip and ended up in the hospital there. And my parents, of course, were coming to see me and begging me to come home and live with them. And I went back and stayed with this man. And for another 3 months before I got to you, it was just one fight after another. And it was just, and I'd run down to my parents. And one night when I left from there to go back, my mother looked at me and she had tears rolling down her face. And she said, Gloria, just pray there's a guardian angel on your shoulder, because there's only one way that this is going to end. And it wasn't long till I came to that realization that it was just going to end with my death. That's exactly what it was going to be. And so I called Mom this one day and I said, what do you want me to do? And she said, come home. This is what your dad and I have been praying for. They'd been going to Al-Anon and been doing everything that they could to find out what they should be doing. And of course, you know, the only thing they could do is wait until I got to the bottom. I said, okay, I'm coming home. And Mother said, well, on your way home, stop at the Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous in Santa Ana. They know an awful lot about you there. And I did that, and I'll never forget that, 32 years ago. And I looked older than I do tonight, and that's 32 years ago. But to sum up the story, I lived with Mom for the first 6 years of my sobriety. My dad passed away just as I came home, and it seemed like it was meant to be. And that call, I got to her house, and there was a call waiting for me from because I'd gone to the central office and given them my name. And by the time I got to my mother's house, there was a call from this wonderful woman who I didn't know at that time was going to become my sponsor. And I told her what I'd done and all this, and nothing seemed to faze her. So that night, I went to my first meeting there at the Women's Club in Laguna Beach, and that's where I've been almost every Wednesday night for the last 32 years. And my life started to change dramatically. There are many, many stories, and it was just wonderful. I had all kinds of fun with things that Derek was doing. He was at UCLA, and he ran off because he owed a drug dealer $2,000 or $3,000, and came to me. And of course, I spoke to my sponsor and says, "You can't pay him because he'll owe the money again tomorrow." So off he went to Miami Beach, Florida. And I was about 5 years sober when this all came down, and I thought that I would never see him again. And then about that time, I met Tom, who you will hear tonight, when I was 5 years sober. And so I had, his children, he had two sons that had done about the same things that Derek had. So I had somebody that I could talk to about. And we started dating, and about 8 months after that, I got a letter from Derek from Gainesville, Florida, that he had reached a recovery house there, and he was talking the talk and walking the walk. And he came. Tom and I were married. We dated about a year, and then we were married. We'll celebrate our 26th wedding anniversary, the 26th of this month. And but life is, it doesn't happen overnight. If any of you that have been sober any length of time, it just doesn't happen overnight. But if you stay sober and do the things that you're supposed to do with your sponsor, and keep going to meetings and listening to the persons and reading the book and doing all the things that you're told to do in this, it happens. And my life, I just can't believe that I have what I have today compared to what it was like 32 years ago when I walked through that door of the Women's Club with nothing. I had no hope. I was desperate. And I do believe that you have to be that way, and it does help if you're desperate when you get here. So I lived with my mom 6 years. And Tom and I got married, and we moved not very far away from there. And I'd still go see my mom because she lived till almost 100 years old. And I would visit her and every, about 2 or 3 times a week and visit with her. And she just loved Tom, and she loved Alcoholics Anonymous because it had saved my life. And one day she looked at me. We were traveling a lot. Tom was speaking in different places all over the U.S. And one day she looked at me and she said, "Gloria, Alcoholics Anonymous has given you a lot, hasn't it?" And I said, "Yes, Mom, just my life. Thank you."
Well, I heard when I came.